The week before his crucifixion, Jesus had come into the city of Jerusalem, and the crowd went out to meet him, and they said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." The people of Israel expected that Jesus would be their next king. If we look back to the book of Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, when the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, they said they were looking for he who has been born king of the Jews. Later on in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25, the apostle Paul would write of Jesus and say, "He must reign till." Jesus was reigning even as Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he would reign until all his enemies, or he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And that as we today experience death, and as we face death in our lives, we understand that Jesus must still be reigning. In the book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 14, Jesus is the Lamb, and he is called Lord of Lords and King of Kings. To some degree, when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem that last week of his life, the question on the minds of people must have been, is Jesus the King? And when the Jews finally brought Jesus before Pilate to receive the sentence of death, the first question from the lips of Pilate as he spoke and turned to Jesus was, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus would say in the verses that were following, John 18, verse 33, and then 36 and 37, Jesus would say, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from here." And Pilate will then repeat the question in verse 37 of John 18, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus would answer, John 18, 37, "You say rightly that I am a king." Jesus was a king. And not long after the things we have read in John 18, God would put all authority in heaven and earth into the hands of Jesus. But as Jesus was speaking there in John 18, the wheels in the mind of Pilate are turning. And finally, Pilate reaches his conclusion about Jesus. He says, "I find no fault in him at all. Not one." That's interesting. You know, the Bible says of Jesus in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, "In him there is no sin." And we believe that. Jesus is perfectly righteous. He is perfectly holy. He is right and correct in everything he ever said and everything he ever did. But here is Pilate in John 18 and verse 38 saying, "I find no fault in him at all." Pilate is the Roman governor who is the earthly judge over Jesus. "No fault in him at all," he says. "Not that I find a little bit, not relatively speaking, he's a nice guy." Pilate says, "Nothing, zip, I find no fault in him at all." Now what he should have done right then and there was to just dismiss the case against Jesus. Let Jesus go. Be done with it all. Take a stand for right and for truth right now. But he didn't. He wanted to make the Jews happy. He wanted to please the world. And he began to negotiate with the Jews. "You know, I could release Jesus to you. There's this other prisoner, Barabbas. I could kill him and I could release Jesus to you." But the Jews will have none of it. They want Jesus dead. Well, Pilate is still trying to make the Jews happy, please the world. And so, as we begin John chapter 19, Jesus is scourged. And the Roman soldiers make a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. They put a purple kingly robe upon him to mock him. And they slap and hit him with their hands. And Pilate will again remind them in John 19 and verse 4,
I want you to know that I find no fault in him. Twice now, Pilate has said this. It's amazing how a person can know the truth and not act upon it. How a person can know the truth and sit there and do nothing about it. Maybe that's you. Maybe you know that Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe you know that Jesus is the Christ. And you've not done anything about it. You know, if Pilate had just acted upon what he knew, how things might have changed, at least for Pilate and his life. Jesus was still going to die because that was part of God's plan for our salvation. But the Jews would cry, even though Pilate had said, I find no fault in him. The Jews would cry in John 19, verse 6, crucify him, crucify him. And there Pilate is still saying, yet weaker and weaker, I find no fault in him. Listen, when a wrong is being done, the time to stand up against it is as soon as you can. The longer and longer you put it off, the harder and harder it gets. And by now in John chapter 19, verse 6, Pilate's resolve is so weak that finally he will say, take him and crucify him. If that's what you want, just do it. Imagine the self-doubt going on in Pilate's mind, the fear that is in his life as he knows here is a man who may be the Son of God and there is no fault in him, but I'm going to let him be crucified. And he thinks he has the power to crucify, and he thinks he has the power to release, but all he has is the power to follow the crowd and let the mob rule. And so finally Jesus is brought out. He is bloody and he is beaten, and the crown of thorns is on his head, and to all appearances he is a beaten and defeated man. He is, if anything, a broken king. And so Pilate is able to say to the Jews, you see him now, he is nothing to you. If he is a king, you see what we have done to him. Behold your king. I don't suppose that Jesus was very much to look at right at that moment. Beaten and bloody. And so in disrespect and shame, Jesus was crucified. When the Jews looked at Jesus there, they saw nothing but a beaten and disrespected, a man in shame upon the cross. Certainly not someone worthy of being the king. In spite of all that he'd done and all that he had taught, from the Jews' perspective, he was no king. And Pilate looked at Jesus, and although he found no fault in him, he looked at Jesus and knew that here is a man that's really not worth saving. He's not someone you would risk your political career for. He's not worth standing up to the mob for. But I want to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 now. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says there, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. The Jews and the Gentiles around Jesus could only look at him and see a broken, beaten, and defeated man whose claim to be king was on the surface ridiculous. But on the third day, Jesus would rise from the dead, and the angel in Mark 16 and 6 would say, he is risen. And Mary, who had gone to the grave to anoint the body of Jesus, was frantically searching for Jesus. She ran to the apostles. Outside the tomb, she spoke to the angels. Where is Jesus? And finally, Jesus would say to her, Mary. And she knew it was Jesus. This is the Jesus that I see. I see the resurrected Jesus. I see the Jesus who took everything the world could throw at him, who was knocked down who was beaten and not defeated. I see the Jesus who gets back up off the floor and he says, as it were, "Is that the best you've got? I have not yet begun to fight." When I see Jesus, I see the Jesus who, according to John chapter 1, verse 1, is the Word. I see the Jesus who declares God to man, John 1, verse 18. When I see Jesus, I see the Creator of the universe. John 1, verse 3 says, all things were made through Him. And Colossians 1, 16 says, of Jesus, by Him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth. I see Jesus, the powerful Creator of heaven and earth and all that is in them. And when I see Jesus, according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, I see the Son of God, and He is wonderful. He is Counselor, He is Mighty God, He is Everlasting Father, He is the Prince of Peace. When I see Jesus, I know that I have seen the Father. For in John 14, verse 9, Jesus says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And when I see Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, I see Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And someday, I hope to see the heavenly Jesus, transfigured, face shining like the sun, as white as light. To a great degree, where we end up is going to depend on how we see Jesus today. Is He the defeated King or the risen Lord? Is He a dead end or is He the way, the truth, and the life? The choice in how you see Jesus is yours. But someday, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, He is coming with the clouds and every eye will see Him. And some will mourn because of choices made today. And some will rejoice because of choices made today. Brethren, behold your King. And as you choose to see Jesus, choose to see Him triumphant. Choose to see Him in victory. Choose to see Him preparing for the day when the Father will send Him back to collect His people. Behold your King, for He is an almighty King. And we are blessed to be the servants of the King. If you're not a child of God, if you are serving sin, you can let that go. And you can become a servant of the King. Believe in Jesus. When Jesus was baptized and as He came up out of the water, the Father spoke there and He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe that, and don't just sit there. Do something about what you believe. What you need to do is called repentance. Change your mind. You can do that. Change your mind and decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. He is the King that I want for my life. Choose to follow Jesus. Confess Jesus is the Son of God. And be baptized. In Mark 16 and 16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." You can be saved as a servant, as a child of the King. We're going to sing a song of invitation, number 25. And if you come forward, we will help you to be a Christian. If there is sin in your life and you want to ask forgiveness, you want to ask your brethren to pray for you and help you in this, we will pray for you. Let's stand and let's sing the invitation song. If you come forward, we'll help you as we can.